Now it's time to turn to the scriptures, and we have been doing a series in Philippians. And today I thought I'd start by reading maybe one of the most well-known passages from Philippians, from Philippians chapter 2. And it starts at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you ever been thrown in the parenting deep end? Maybe, now, many of you haven't been, but many of you have been, and it might have been a few different ways. Maybe you all of a sudden became a parent when you weren't expected, and you think, oh, I don't know how to do this. What do I have to do? And you're racing around, and you're trying to read books, you're trying to buy stuff, all those sorts of things. And then you just sort of muddle your way through raising your own child. Or maybe all of a sudden you've had to take care of someone else's child in an emergency situation. Maybe even if it was only for a day or overnight and you weren't expecting it to, and you're all of a sudden thrown in to the deep end. Now, how am I doing this? How are we doing bedtime? How do we get them to get to sleep? All those sorts of things. How do we get them to eat their vegetables? And you wrestle with all of these questions. Or maybe you're a grandparent and you know, you've been an empty nester for a while, and all of a sudden you're having to look after grandkids on a one-off basis or a regular basis, and all of a sudden you're having to reconfigure your house and all of the things that had slowly made their way down from the high shelves because your house didn't have to be childproof. All of a sudden you're moving breakable and valuable things back up higher out of reach, and where a marauding toddler can't bash into them, crash into them, pick them up or break them. And you feel like you're thrown into the parenting deep end, and you realize there's things you need to organize and do and all those sorts of things. Well, I want us to think about a similar thing in being thrown into the Christian parenting deep end. And I don't mean parenting as in raising physical children who are, I guess, 5 years old or whatever. But what I mean is about how you might be thrown into the parenting deep end in helping to help a person who's a new follower of Jesus learn to be a better follower of Jesus, or a young follower of Jesus grow up to be a mature follower of Jesus. And so often we don't think about helping to raise and train and form a new Christian as a parenting role. But when we look at the book of Philippians and in some other places, Paul actually essentially uses that picture or that image or that metaphor or that framework, if you like, for the process of discipleship. But just as, so I want us today to spend some time thinking about, well, what would we do if we were thrown in the Christian parenting deep end? What was that? What are the things we have to keep in mind? What do we have to organize? What do we have to arrange? And oftentimes we may not have thought about that, because somehow the sort of answer is, well, just come to church. But then if you think about your own life and your own Christian walk, it hasn't just been just go to church. There's been people that you've been close to, people that have invested in you, people who invited you into their lives, people who have helped you with things, people who have walked with you through difficult situations, people that have explained answers when you've got tricky questions, people who have prayed for you and cried with you and laughed with you. It's not just the church building. It's not just the minister. It's not just the person on the Zoom or on the YouTube clip or whatever else. There's these other almost incidental on the way interactions, which are actually critical to the process of becoming a mature follower of Jesus. And we've been looking at Philippians as a letter that gives us great insight into the process of maturity. And we've seen that, first of all, us growing to be like Jesus is God's intention and God's destiny for you and for me, and God is working towards that end, and God will make it happen. God, we can be confident that we're going to get there. And secondly, we see in Philippians Paul's great commitment to, yes, I'm pursuing that too. I'm pursuing for my life what God is pursuing for my life, to become like more and more like Jesus. And even the great Paul hadn't recognized that he hadn't got there yet. And then Paul bears his soul in Philippians, and he sees shows some of the profound ways that he has been changed on the inside. It's not just about rule keeping, but it's about how he responds to church conflict or his past or the prospect of being in danger of his own life or finances. And last week we saw how it was really important that for his growth, that he welded the God's truth to the experiences of his life to help transform him. But it's not just an individual thing, it's also a corporate thing, and we have some responsibility for others. And again, Paul in Philippians provides us with some great insight into doing that. And firstly, obviously, also, if you're going to help someone become a mature Christian, you're going to have to pass on information. And the passage we read today is a great example of that. It's theology of the most profound kind. Who is Jesus and what is he like? Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he became a person, he died on a cross, and then he was risen and exalted. But even at the end of this passage, there's some really profound theology which may not be evident at first reading. And because at the end of it, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that, I mean, it's a very familiar phrase to many Christians because it's been parts of songs. But when Paul wrote that, that was explosive. And the reason for that is that these words were not the first time these phrases had been used. In fact, they had been used in the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 45. I just want to read verses 22 and 23. So this is Isaiah's record of what God is saying. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. And here Paul, very deliberately, not accidentally, he is putting Jesus right in the middle of that. What God said about God, here God is saying about Jesus. So this is a really clear indication that from the earliest, Christians understood in some mysterious way that Jesus was God. A complicated way, a mysterious way. And when we are helping people grow in their Christian understanding and in their Christian life, we're going to have to pass on information. We're going to have to pass on theology. But you see here, it's not just abstract theology. Because Paul frames it like this. And he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then he talks about how Jesus emptied himself and humbled himself in the service of other people and relied on God to lift him up rather than trying to lift himself up to a position of power and authority. And so here's the thing, you know, when we think about and pass on theology about God, there's always implications for us about how we should live as followers of Jesus, and we should make those connections. But you see, just passing on information isn't enough. If it was, we wouldn't need all sorts of local churches and all sorts of small groups and mid-sized groups. We could just have one or two people broadcasting to the world their sermons and it would all go. But we know that doesn't work, just the way in the whole process of parenting doesn't work with just a few YouTube channels or just a few parenting books or just a few parenting TV shows. Those books, those TV shows, those broadcasts don't parent anyone, do they? You actually need a real live person, a responsible adult or responsible-ish adult you know, interacting with a kid, helping them to tie their shoelaces or helping them to eat their vegetables or whatever else it is. You actually need on the ground, real life people, interacting with people to make the parenting thing happen. You can't outsource that. I mean, you can go and get information and wisdom and advice from lots of different sources, but you can't dispense with the local one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-ten, two-on-ten, or two-on-three, whatever it is, parenting interaction. And it's not just even that, is it? It's the whole, you know, the whole phrase, it takes a village. It cannot just be you. It's very hard just to do it by yourself. Even then you need, you know, kindergarten teachers or neighbours or friends or extended family to help with the process. It's not just the information. It's also the participation, you see. And here Paul in his letter has passed on this amazing theological information, and he has teased out the practical implications of it, that we need to have the same attitude as Christ. But he goes on in chapter 2, and he knows that that's not enough. And he goes on, and this is a passage that is sometimes, I think, just glossed over and read over as we get to the next bit about Paul talking about his past or Paul talking about rejoicing always. But I think this is really vital. He says this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Back in earlier in chapter 2, he says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interests, but each of you looking out for the interests of others." And so Paul has taught this theology. He's wrapped the mindset change around it. But more than that, he said, actually, what I need to do is I need you to send you Timothy. Now, Timothy wasn't his biological son. He was his son in the faith. He is a person that he had taken under his wing, that he had mentored, that he had parented, if you like. And by calling him his son, he was basically saying, he has now grown up to become like me. When you look at Timothy, you see an example of what I am like. And so Paul is in prison. He can't be physically present with the Philippians, but he sends someone, Timothy, who is like himself, to be with them as a living example so that they can interact with him about, well, how do we actually do this? How do we go about not looking out for ourselves? And how do we go about having the same mindset as Jesus in our everyday Christian lives? Because when you just see people in church or people preaching on live streams like this or whatever, you just see that part of their lives. You don't see them around meal tables. You don't see them in family dynamics. You don't see them in the shopping center. You don't see them having fun. You don't see them relaxing. You don't see them gardening. You don't see them in all of the other areas of life where following Jesus actually plays out. You actually need people that you can interact with and see in the everyday life. And further on, in chapter 3, Paul says this, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us in as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." You see, being examples to those around us and being accessible to those around us is actually critical to the whole process. It doesn't work without that. And even in chapter 4, Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice." It's not just the books. It's not just the videos. It's just not just the sermons. It's the modeling that's really important. And each of us gets to do that. And you don't have to be an expert. You know, it's not like the physical parenting sense that you have to go through some sort of course and get some sort of degree and qualify to get some sort of level of, you know, world expertise. No, that's not required. I mean, most of us will have been parented to some way or another. We'll have been exposed to other parenting models. We have access to resources. And then when we get stuck, we ask someone that we trust, "Oh, what do you do in this situation? How do you deal with that?" And then we go ahead and we actually do it. We're not perfect. None of us is perfect as in the physical parenting, and none of us knows everything in the physical parenting, but we are the living physical parents there. And it's the same with parenting in to Christian maturity. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know it all. We just have to be present and available and accessible. And even if you've never been a parent of your own child or an adopted child, you get the chance to invest in other people and help them in their maturity. And even if you don't feel like you can do anything else, you can follow the example of Paul in Philippians and pray for people. You should never underestimate the value and the importance of you praying that other people would grow more and more like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." And you might think, I don't know whether I have anything to really offer and give someone else. Well, you have the ability to pray for them, that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. But you also have, probably, if you've been following Jesus for any period of time, some examples of things that have gone on in your life. And you'll be able to say, I remember the time when, dot, dot, dot. And you can talk about an example where God answered a prayer or God challenged you or got you through a difficult circumstance or you discovered something. And you'll be able to share a bit of your life with someone that you were talking to. It may just even be in passing. Not even in any sort of long-term relationship or long-term interaction, but you'll be able to share something internally. Maybe you'll be able to point to some resources or whatever else. And then maybe you can also help people work it out. There was a conflict between a couple of people in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side." And so again, there's this process of when people are in disagreement, when people are misunderstanding things and misunderstanding each other, or there's a difficulty, there's a great process of other people around them helping them to figure it out so that they can also walk in the ways of Jesus. And if we are going to be mature into faith, we've got to be open to the people around us speaking into our lives and helping us and being spiritual parents to us. And we also, even if you're a young Christian, you're going to think, well, one day, even very soon, and maybe you're even more soon than you expect, I might be able to help someone else on the journey of discovering this wonderful God who exists, who is love, who's entered into this world, who has humbled himself and died on a cross and rose again for our salvation and connect us to God. Maybe I can pass on even some of my very early and rudimentary experiences of following Jesus. Maybe I can even pass them on to someone else. It takes a village. It takes a church. It takes a small group. It takes you. And it takes me to interact with people, to be real with people, to pass on the information we know, to share the examples we have, to help them work out the wrestles that they have, to be followers of Jesus. And that's why it's really important for us to be rubbing shoulders with each other. You know, even when we're meeting in church, it's not just the service, it's the time after around morning tea, because that's where everybody, you get to catch up with people and see how they're going. And it's not just those times, it's the times when we gather in small groups and online and other places. And so that's why we are going to, at the end of this live stream, have an opportunity to gather together in groups and to share some of our experiences. None of us are experts. None of us have got it all, but all of us have something. And as we rely on God and God's Spirit to be among us and to lead us, and as we open ourselves to the investing in others, even if it's just the praying, even if it's just sharing what we've learned along the journey, they're incredibly valuable and important parts to the process of us cooperating with each other. God does God's bit. He's going to get us there. We do our bit for ourselves. I'm committed, God, to becoming more like Jesus. And then we do our bit together. We're committed to helping each other become more like Jesus in these really practical and tangible ways. Let's pray. God, becoming more like your son Jesus is just the best opportunity that we have. And we thank you that you are working towards that end and will complete that in us. Lord, help us to be just as committed to that project as Paul was. And Lord, I pray you'd help each of us just to be really intentional about the way we can encourage each other and engage with each other and pass on what we have learned about you to those around us. Lord, help us to be engaging in spiritual parenting in helpful ways. Lord, so that we can help each other on this journey to Christ-likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.